Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter. And we will read the first 17 verses of that chapter. So it's Luke chapter 13. And we'll, we'll begin reading from verse 1. Luke 13, verse 1, reading then as follows in the name of our Lord. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt at Jerusalem or in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word, and we do pray that you would enlighten us, that Father, you would work repentance in our own hearts, so that as we read and study this word, we would not read and study it for the benefit of others, but we would read and study it for our own benefit. So this morning we pray that indeed you would sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel, when he writes in roughly the 18th chapter, I believe it is, writes to the children of Israel and says to them, Why do you bring out this proverb, the children's teeth are set on edge, or something along those lines, and perhaps I should read it. But the whole sense of this is that somehow, you know, the children are culpable for their parents' sins, or something along those lines. And the prophet Ezekiel is spoken to by God, and basically God tells them this, that everyone is now culpable for their own sin. In other words, no one has any type of excuse. You can't say, well, I'm like this because, you know, my dad was like this, or I'm like this because my mother was like this, or something along those lines. Everyone is responsible for their own sin. And this is really what we begin to examine as we enter, as I've mentioned before, as we think about the Lent season, but in particular as we look at this text before us this morning, this whole idea of repentance. What is it to repent? And who needs repentance? Do we need repentance, we who are gathered here this morning, or is repentance just for those who are lost? Repentance is for the sinner, and that's absolutely correct. Thank you, brother. You see, this is really the issue that comes before us this morning. As Jesus was walking, now he was actually ministering now to the people of the Jewish nation, and he was making his way toward Jerusalem. In the travel narrative of which we are reading a portion of, the travel narrative starts from the 9th chapter of Luke. In the 51st verse, Jesus says there that he now, or actually Luke pens down for us that Jesus now sets his face to go to Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem there he would accomplish the work of God. He would come now and do that which was the reason for his coming to this earth in the first place. But as he's traveling along this road, making his way toward Jerusalem, he encounters all kinds of people. He encounters those who are in great amount of need, people who are sick, who are hungry, who are laden with all kinds of infirmities, and he takes care of their needs. But he also encounters a group of people who are very good church people, who are the scribes and the Pharisees of that day. And he deals with them as well. And he deals with them from a different type of mindset, because they're now coming at him and saying, well, who are you and what are you doing? And they're questioning over and over again who this man Jesus is. And he tells them a lot of parables. He tells them a lot of illustrative stories that basically identify their problem. And you see, this is really what the Word of God is all about. When Jesus starts to talk to these people, he addresses our own hearts as well. Because to a certain degree, we like to justify ourselves. We justify whatever it is that we do as people in this world, or even as we might call ourselves good church people. We justify our actions. We say, well, you know, I'm not all that bad. I do whatever it is that I do in my life. I'm very careful not to do the wrong things. And so therefore, why would I ever need to repent? There's a lot of other people out there who do a lot of bad things. And perhaps some of the things that are happening in our world today indicate that. That's why there's all these storms. That's why there's all these tragedies. God is raining judgment upon this world and taking care of those sinners out there who deserve it, correct? And too often, that's the mindset. You see, these people that come to Jesus after listening to him proclaim what he proclaimed all up to this point now in this travel narrative, this is what he has been bringing to them. Their need of repentance, their need of turning from their own sin and turning on to God. And now they come to him and say, well, hey, did you hear about those Galileans? Did you hear about those Galileans who Pilate slew? They had come to Jerusalem, perhaps, or wherever they had gone, and they had come to do some sacrifices, and Pilate had just come in there and took them and killed them indiscriminately for no real reason. He had just killed them. And this, actually, interesting enough, both of these incidences that take place here, this is the only place they're recorded. For whatever reason, Pilate mingles their own blood with their sacrifice. In other words, he kills them. And Jesus says to them, "Do you think that these people were worse off?" Do you think that these people are worse sinners? And that's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I hear people say that. These things are happening because God's bringing judgment upon certain individuals or certain groups of people. Really? Does God kind of work? Too bad Pete wasn't here. Like willy-nilly? Is he willy-nilly with his justice and his judgment? Where he just kind of indiscriminately just brings it out against certain people for no apparent reason? They just happen to be maybe worse sinners than we are? Or how about the Tower of Siloam? The Tower of Siloam, Jesus asked the same question. He says, or he brings this out as well, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Were they worse? Were they sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And he answers a question for you boys. And for you girls. For all of you who perhaps question in your mind, were these people worse sinners? No. No, they were not. And except you repent, ye shall also likewise perish. You see, my friends, this is the message of the kingdom. And it may seem tough and it may seem hard, but let me tell you something. This is the message. When Christ enters into this world and begins to minister unto the people, he calls them to repentance. He calls them to turn from their sinful way of living and to turn onto the living and righteous and holy God. And guess what? This God will forgive them. We need to lose the mindset, if that's our mindset this morning, that I'm doing okay. I'm better off than that person over there. So somehow that justifies me before God. I don't do what they do. No, you need to see your own need of repentance this morning, wherever you are in your life. So is repentance just for the outside people? No. Repentance is for us. We find each and every day in our life, if we are honest with ourselves, that we need to repent. For whatever the thing might be, and it can be mighty small, just a selfish act or our own pushing after our own will or wants or desires. The Word of God addresses us and says, that's not the right way to live. You need to repent. And you see, this is really what comes against us. This is why Luther probably talks about this an awful lot, that we, as the Christian, need to repent daily. Well, why? Isn't it just kind of a one-time thing and then we're good to go? No, because too often we fall into these kind of mindsets where we begin to live out our lives based on the outward lives of others And as long as my life somehow is just a little bit better than some other person who I perceive is sinning more than me, then perhaps I'm okay. And God help us if we ever begin to think like that. Because we need repentance. This is what Jesus was telling these people. Don't you know? You are the ones who need to repent. Stop looking everywhere else. Repentance sits at your own front door and is what you need. And repentance, as I've explained for you before, in this very, from this very pulpit, is simply turning from whatever it is that you are doing that is contrary to the Word of God. In this actually case, the big problem with these people is that they were not believing that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And I wanted to actually read all of chapter 13 because he brings that point home firmly in the 35th or the 34th and 35th verse of this chapter. They continued to deny that he was in fact the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the one for whom they were waiting. He was the one who was able to deliver them from their sins. They said, well, you know, we're not that bad. We've been raised in the church all of our lives. And we've maintained our Christianity. So why do I need to repent? He spake this parable also. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. He says to the dresser of the vineyard, the one who takes care of the vine, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And here is where the grace of God is extended. He said, this is what it's like. He says, I come into this world and I look for fruit. I try to find someone who has fruit worthy of repentance, and I can find none. There's nobody that's repenting. They're all going their own way. They're all seeking their own things. They all are ignorant of the grace of God. But listen. Listen to what the dresser of the vineyard says. He says, Lord, let it alone for another year. And I'll continue to nurture it. I'll continue to bring this fertilizer to it so that perhaps then it will bear fruit. But then if it doesn't, then you can come and take care of the matter. That's where we live today. You and I who live here in this world today, in this day, live in the age of grace. Today is the day of grace. God has not poured out his judgment upon this world. He has not brought this world, as it were, to a close. He poured the judgment of this world out upon his Son and now calls all men everywhere to repent. This is what Paul says. This is what those apostles who went out after Jesus' resurrection from the grave, they went out and began to preach this everywhere. It's time for you to repent. Well, who needs repentance? Those who are thirsty. Are you thirsty this morning? Maybe that's a silly question. But if you heard Psalm 63 read this morning, that's what you heard. And Isaiah 55 was a reading for today as well. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, come buy and eat. Get this gift that costs no money at all. You see, this is what Jesus was bringing to these people, and this is what he has brought to this world. He has brought to us our repentance. It is the goodness of God that leadeth a man unto repentance, Paul writes in Romans. And this is what Jesus was demonstrating for these hard-hearted people over and over again. It is the goodness of God that I have brought to you. And he will demonstrate it in its fullness when he dies on the center cross of Calvary for these people who rejected him over and over again, and for us who reject him very often in our daily living. You see, this addresses us all. And perhaps it addresses no one harder than the man who stands before you delivering the message. I need repentance. I need to be changed. Because too often that's all I'm worried about is me, myself. And I. And it becomes such a stumbling block that pretty soon I can't even see any of the needs around me anymore. I can't see you. Because that's all I can see is whatever's in my mind and in my space. And this is what consumes me then as a person. And this is what becomes my treasure. Whatever I can get for me, whatever I can get in this world, well, that's what's most important, isn't it? And this is what Jesus was telling the people as well as he traveled toward Jerusalem. Look, the thing that you need to be worried about is the things of heaven, not just this life. Don't worry about those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did you hear that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, he will take care of you here in this world and in this life. You may have lots, you may have little. But what's important is you know this one who has brought the kingdom of God to bear in this world and has established, as it were, the age of grace in which we live and now calls all men everywhere to repent, to turn from their own or perhaps even their wrong way of perceiving God and to know him in the right way. To see the goodness of God. And you see, that's what we see in the next portion of this text. He was teaching in their synagogues on the Sabbath day. And there was a woman there which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Here's this woman, for 18 years as she had been bowed over like this, could not lift herself up at all. Jesus comes onto the scene, sees her, calls her to him, and says, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." And he lays his hands on her, and immediately she is made straight. And glorifies God. You see, my friends, this is how we repent. God addresses us through his word. He comes to us, we who are bowed down, as it were, overtaken in our sin. who recognize in ourselves our selfishness, our push always for me, myself, and I, with no concern for anyone else anywhere. Because as long as this person is doing okay, well, then that's great. Who cares about anybody else? It's called the Hezekiah approach. That's how Hezekiah was, if you're not familiar with that, the king of Israel. He had showed his enemies, his future enemies, all of the treasures of God. And the prophet was sent to him, and the prophet said, "What in the world are you doing? Why did you show these to these Babylonians? Now they're going to come in and they're going to take care of this matter. They're going to conquer you people. But it won't happen until after you're dead, Hezekiah." So what did he say? "Oh, well, that's okay. No big deal. I'll be gone anyway, so who cares?" And that's really what, I'm paraphrasing, but you can read that out of in the prophet Isaiah. This is exactly how Hezekiah viewed things. So a very selfish mindset. And this is what the Lord is calling us away from. We who are the body of believers, this woman was bowed down. And guess what the good church people said? "How dare she come on the Sabbath day to get healed? There are 6 days in which you should work. Come on those days to be healed, but not on the day of the Lord." Because it demonstrates for us the hardness of the human heart and the even worse condition of a religious heart that's just bent on rules and regulations and never can see the grace and the judgment, the mercy of God, rather. Jesus is very much upset with these kind of people, and he says it many times over. "You tithe mint and cumin and rue, all of these garden herbs you take care of. Make sure you tithe a tenth of that to God, but you've forgotten the weightier matters of the law. Mercy, love, judgment." He tells her, and Jesus then looks at him and says, "You hypocrite. You hypocrite," verse 15, "doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Don't you take care of your animals? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," I mean, she was a Jewish woman after all, "whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Shouldn't this woman who has been bound under the control of Satan for all of these years be loosed on the Sabbath day? That's all you're worried about is the Sabbath day? You've completely misrepresented and misused the law." This is who Jesus came to rescue and save. Those who are bowed down, as it were, caught under the captivity of Satan himself, who spews his deception yet into this world, desiring to deceive even those who dwell within the church walls with whatever he can get to snag them. And very often, it's religion. It's when rules and regulations and these things become the one and only thing, and the mercy and the love and the grace of God are cast out and forgotten. He says, when he had said these things in verse 17, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoice for all the glorious things that were done by him. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You see, when Christ came to deliver the message of repentance onto this group of people, what he was telling them is they can turn from this way of life that simply leads to deadness and unfulfillment to a way of life that leads to everlasting life and salvation and the ultimate fulfillment. And this is what we bring yet today. We must not be afraid of preaching the word of God to this world and to ourselves. We must not be afraid of the word repentance or view it in some sort of strange way, like I just confess a few sins and that's repentance. That is not repentance. Repentance is turning from one thing, whatever it is that you are doing that's wrong, and you don't do that anymore. Because it hurts your brother or your sister, or it's bad for you as a person. And I'm very tempted to give you a list. I really am. Perhaps we need to get really a little bit more hard on some things in our life because they come into the church and they create havoc. And it drives us to the brink of extinction. We need to repent. Dear listener, you need to repent. You need to turn from whatever it is that's consuming your life and turning you away from the things of God. And you need to see the goodness of God as it's carried out and shown for you in the resurrected Lord Jesus. And hear the message that he brings on to you today. Why do you chase after the things of this life? Why do you act as if those things are the end all, or those things bring satisfaction, or somehow assuage your fears and griefs? Run to the Lord Jesus. Come to the one who offers himself, his body and his blood for no cost at all, and whose body and blood brings healing from all sin and iniquity. Don't run to the things of this world, because in those things you will find no satisfaction. Dear young people, avoid these things. Run from them. Paul, when he writes to the church in Corinth, tells them to flee from fornication. Flee from the things of this flesh, because they bring destruction into the home and into marriages. Young men in this congregation, flee from idolatry. Flee from adulterous thoughts and fornications. Run from these things and run to the Savior, who gives you deliverance over all of these things. Repent. Turn from those things which are causing you so much trouble anyway, and come to the Savior, who has paid it all for you, who has made you his own, who laid down his life for you, and says, I have the most miraculous gift to give you. I have this gift of life. You don't need to perish. You don't need to be swayed by the things of this life to the point where you can no longer see anything but those things. Come to me. Come to my cross. And there experience the forgiveness of your sins as you see the bleeding, dying Savior. Come to my tomb. And notice that it's empty because I no longer reside there. I live because I have conquered death, hell, and the devil. I have conquered this world, and it's all yours. It's a gift for you. Why would you want to go anywhere else? Why would you want to seek fulfillment in any other place? Come to me. I have what you need. And you know what we find as believers? When we come to Christ, He indeed fulfills every last need. And we find that as we are in Him, suddenly we can get through this life and all of its troubles and trials. Suddenly, repentance is exactly what I need. Because I need to turn from whatever it is that I'm doing wrong. I need this Savior. I thirst for Him. The church needs to thirst for Him again. We need to hunger after Him like nothing else. And He will bless His church. This thirsty church who clings to their Savior with all of their strength, He will bless. And this church will become prosperous, and it will go out into this world, and it will bring this same message to a world that is dying and in need of it. And it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow until the day that God comes to bring the church to Himself in the end. This is who we are. We are these people. May God help us as we consider these things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You this morning for Your word. Very often it's hard for us, Father, we who are so fleshly, so consumed by our flesh. We rebel against it very often, Father, but You know our hearts. You know the ones even perhaps who are seated in this audience who scorn these things. Father, soften their hearts. Soften all of our hearts that we may hear Your word, that we may hearken diligently to the call of Your prophets, of Your apostles, of Your teachers, that we may follow You. For Father, in following You and Your Son, there we find life. There we find salvation, there we find hope, and there we find joy. O Lord, comfort us. Take care of our fears. Take care of our desires. Calm our often quaking hearts, and lead us to You. O Lord, bless us and keep us. Make Your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.